We all know couples whose beliefs are like chalk and cheese. One's a Democrat, the other's a staunch Republican. One's a born-again Christian, the other's an atheist. Well, what about carnivores and vegetarians? The question here is, does love conquer all? Our contributor, Melissa Clark, whose own marriage has a divide on the culinary front, got together with chef Sarah Copeland to talk the nuts and bolts of living with a vegetarian.
Hi, Sarah. Welcome.
Thank you for having me, Melissa. It's great to be here.
So, Sarah, you're a trained professional chef, and your husband is a vegetarian. How do you guys negotiate the whole food thing? How do you feed each other?
Well, it's so interesting because when we met, actually, the very first meal we ever had together, we sat down and we were eating, and I didn't really realize it till later, but it was a vegetarian meal. We were eating all kinds of, like, labneh and hummus and baba ganoush and everything, and it really never came up. And then as we started dating and he said he was a vegetarian, I was like, wow, I cook a really good steak. That's going to be a bummer for you. You know, but I never, ever thought about changing his mind. I never thought what I do is better or more delicious or what he does is better or better for the planet or anything. I just thought, okay, he's a grown-up. I'm a grown-up. You know, this is the way he eats. This is the way I eat. So we'll just eat this other way together. But then my life kind of morphed, and the way I eat kind of morphed more towards his.
So you started eating... You say 90% vegetarian?
Is that? I would say 90% vegetarian.
And that's because you wanted to, because you were more attracted to the way he was eating?
Right. And, you know, the thing is, I really realized, I mean, whenever I'd go to a restaurant, I would go, you know, obviously in our profession, sometimes you get a tasting menu and you get to have anything you want on the menu. And I was really gravitating always towards the vegetables, or it was sort of like everything around the meat was the most interesting to me. But I never really thought, I don't eat a lot of meat at home. I never really thought about it. But the things I loved and the things I craved were the things he only ate.
But what about that amazing steak that you make? Do you ever make it, or is it the end of your steak days?
You know, it's interesting. Right after I wrote my vegetarian cookbook, and I had been pretty strictly vegetarian for 2 solid years, I did a story on grass-fed beef. And I ended up being in the fields with these amazing, beautiful creatures, these gorgeous animals, the cows that had been just nursing their babies, and they were so human-like. In their relationships. And I was so moved by it. But then, of course, the farmer gave me this incredible grass-fed beef. Of course, I took it home and cooked it right away. And my daughter, who was like 2 at the time, toddled out after her nap and sat down. And it was like, it was so innate for her. She just dug in, and I dug in with her, and we totally enjoyed it. It was amazing. So I still love it, you know, sometimes. So I think, you know, I think the whole idea that there's one way to eat, or to say, I only do this ever, 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 kind of almost invites backlash. Whereas if you allow yourself your moments, you know, it's just like, you know, if you're a healthy eater, it doesn't mean you never eat a cupcake.
Right.
Right?
So for you, vegetarianism is expansive. It's what you do most of the time. But then there's also those moments. Now, what does your husband say when you break out the steak? Does he just kind of roll his eyes, or is he?
No, not at all. He's totally, you know, it's interesting because he's so comfortable in any setting. He's the guy that will never even tell you. He doesn't want anyone to do anything special for him. He doesn't want anyone to, like, work around it. And if we're guests at a week, you know, someone's weekend house, I bring eggs and I can make anything work. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I know exactly what you mean because my husband doesn't eat dairy. He'll eat butter, but not cream or cheese. So I use a lot less cheese in my cooking, but every time I eat cheese in front of him, it makes him really happy. He wants to see me enjoy
that. That's so sweet. I love it.
So we've been able to kind of negotiate a relationship around what he doesn't eat and what I love to eat, and somehow we all get fed.
Yeah, no, I think that's so great. It's really nice to acknowledge that other people really enjoy different things.
What about when you're cooking for your family? Do you find yourself using all kinds of different ingredients, maybe ingredients that are a little bit out of the ordinary?
Well, you know, it's interesting because I always joke that my husband's a vegetarian who doesn't really love vegetables. Like, he'll be like, are we having, oh gosh, kale again? Oh gosh, you know? Like, my whole philosophy around the way I cook, it's not about meat substitutes, it's about just delicious food. And so I think that opens up so many doors. And we have guests a lot at our house who have every different kind of dairy, gluten-free, vegetarian, or complete meat eaters. And I make things like artichoke enchiladas, which I'm making for friends this weekend. You know, it's all the familiar things. Yummy tortilla, this juicy enchilada sauce. And inside is artichoke and quinoa. And it, by the way, happens to be gluten-free, which isn't my family's thing, but it works for other people. And it also happens to be vegetarian. But we never talk about it. We don't say, oh, you're coming over. Do you mind having vegetarian? That's what we eat at home. It's just like, oh, we're having mushroom goulash tonight, or we're having, you know, kale pizza or whatever. And everyone seems to be really happy. I will say that I often have sliced charcuterie kind of somewhere present just in case someone's like really freaking out.
So you always have the meat just in case.
Right, right. It's like bacon, the gateway meat, they call it.
So when you were becoming a vegetarian cook, was there one ingredient that really opened up the vegetarian universe for you that you learned something from in particular?
Mushrooms kind of were my first aha, because since my husband's Hungarian, and so I thought, how can I make goulash, this food that's so ingrained in his culture, in a way that everyone would just go nuts for it? And, you know, so that's a little obvious, but it actually, there's just so many ways to go with mushrooms.
And there's so many different kinds of mushrooms.
Right.
And they all have different flavors.
Exactly. And, you know, there's not a tremendous amount of prep. Of course, there's, you know, chopping and trimming and cleaning them. But it's not like tofu, where if you really want to make it shine, you have to press it and season it so much. I mean, mushrooms have their own great flavor, and they really marry with so many very quickly and easily.
And how do you boost flavors? Have you found one particular ingredient that you find yourself reaching for more than when you ate meat, like miso or soy sauce?
Miso would be a perfect one. I should use it more. And the thing for me is really like paprika paste, or something like a red hot chili paste, which they have in so many different cultures. So you have it obviously in Hungarian, but you also have like an Italian or a Turkish red pepper paste, and you have chili paste in the Asian culture. So there's so many ways to use it. And one of the things that was really like a fear for me, because I love soup and we're a total soup family, was how to really pull off a really nourishing, exciting soup without chicken broth. Mm. And vegetable broth, I like, but it's kind of a lot of work to coax out like a really, a lot of umami, or you can throw in Parmesan rind. There are things you can do. But I found that if I added paprika paste or red chili paste or anything to my broth, it just got this warm, you know, really earthy aroma and flavor that felt more satisfying than just, you know, say kind of a wimpy veggie broth.
It also gives it body.
Yeah, that's true. Exactly.
Thank you so much, Sarah. It was great talking to you.
Thanks for having me.
Chef Sarah Copeland is the author of Feast. Melissa Clark is a food columnist at the New York Times and author of Cook This Now. Well, Sarah left us with a recipe for bottomless pot of bibimbap. And you can find it at splendidtable.org.